All right. Okay, so we are going to have an opportunity now to hear testimonies. Does anyone remember our, like, the what we, I can't think of the word. The three letters for testimonies are A, B, and C. It's kind of like an acronym. It's not, anyway, the ABCs of testimonies. Does anyone remember that? Is it ringing a bell at all?
B is for brief.
B is for brief. We've got the brief. B is for brief. C is for Christ-centered. What's A for? It's authentic. So it is authentically about you. It's like a true story. It's not like, oh, I'm going to tell this fantastical tale. It's authentic to you. Something from your life. This isn't your entire life story. It's a brief. That's the B. It is a brief snippet of something that God is doing or has done or is teaching you in your life right now. And the C is Christ-centered. And so it's not about your mom, although I could talk, my mom's pretty great. She's like the best, sorry to the rest of you. But it's not about your mom, and it's not really about you either. It's about Christ and what he's doing. So does anyone have an ABC testimony they would be courageous enough to share with us today? Oh, I see waving at the back. Come on down. And if in the meantime, people can come tap me on the shoulder and say, I want to go next.
Hello, Redemption. My name is Jeffrey. So it is authentic, it is Christ-centered, but I don't think it'll be weird. I'll try. So I think people who know me, I think you know that like last year, I actually got laid off and I was like job searching. And I feel like this was also an opportunity for God to really humble me in ways. Because I always thought like, oh, you know, I graduated from engineering. I just have to work harder to find a job or I do this and this and this. But I felt what God was really revealing to me is like, there was many issues in my life and many things that I wasn't really willing to face. But it's like God gave me that space to be able to walk through like all these hurts, all these pains in the past. And even like, funny thing is like, you know, even Pastor Daniel's message, right? Like our video. It's like about all the, you know, not everyone has a great, you know, memories of, you know, of their parents or especially their mom and like the hurts. And for me, it was also the same too, like a lot of hurts. But the funny thing is I felt like what God has really revealed recently, he's like, you are not defined by the lies that your parents have given you. You are not a disappointment. You are not worthless. You are not valueless. Christ died for you. He saw you worthy of his own blood, of his infinite worth and value. He said, you are worthy. And not only worthy, that through Christ, you are adopted as sons and daughters of God. Such a great privilege. And I felt like that's what God has been really enforcing me in this time. It's like, don't live by your lies, live by the truth. And whenever these lies come up, you just gotta like confront it and say, no, I trust in what Christ is saying about me. I trust in what God has demonstrated his love for me, that while I was a sinner, while I like hated God and loathed God on my worst day, Christ died for me. I felt that was what God has been really revealing to me. But besides that point, like during this year, God has been really revealing who he is. That just like how in the Old Testament, it was God who was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. It was God who delivered the enemies of like the Philistines or whoever it is in the promised land to the people of Israel. It was God who was doing this and accomplishing this. And what he has humbled me to see is like, by my own strength, I cannot do it. Like I send all these applications, I hear nothing, like nothing. I'm like, what's going on, right? And then just like 2 weeks ago, or no, actually a month ago, I receive this message on LinkedIn. And it's like, hey, you know, like, we have a position. Or like, oh, we looked at your profile and your position really matches. And I was just so surprised because I haven't received a message on LinkedIn for like 6 months. I'm like, this is not like, that's not by coincidence. And even like a couple weeks earlier, I felt God telling me, he's like, just trust in me and stop job searching. And in my opinion, I'm like, what? Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, how can you find a job if you don't search for it? Like, is it just gonna like land on your feet? I'm like, no, right? Like land, yeah. But I felt that was what God has been revealing. He's like, really trust in him. Like, really surrender and trust in him. And really trust in his timing. Although during the process, it may seem like, oh, nothing's going on. Or, you know, like, it's just, you're wasting your time. Or like, you know, I'm a failure. But God's timing is not our timing. And how he views success is different from the world. So praise God, you know, I started working already, and then, yeah, this is my second week. And yeah, I just, so that's all I want to share.
Thanks, Jeff. Praise God. Sometimes God gives us space in ways that we don't ask for or expect, whether it's having no job or like being sick. Sometimes we get space in ways we don't ask for. And God is still on the move. And I feel like I see someone slowly walking out. Do you want to go next?
No.
Oh, okay. All right then, I'll just keep talking. Anyone else? Anyone at all? Oh, excellent. Oh yeah, I should mention, I can't see you if you put your hand up. Come on up.
Good morning, Redemption Church members. Yeah, my name's Moses. And my spouse, Rivia, doctor. It's so funny sometimes, like, he feels, it's like, it's not worth it, but he feels like maybe, oh my God, I'm a doctor now. So yeah, you are. Just be yourself, feel it, you're a doctor now. So we are here to glorify God for one or two more reasons. One is I thank God that we are alive today and we are okay in Canada. Another one is I thank God that our time in Canada was like expiring in 3 months to come. But after our studies, we had to submit in for PGWP. Now, surprisingly, I always tell her that our case is different. We have a living God. We serve a living God. God knows us more than we know ourselves. And I really thank God that today our application didn't take even 2 months to be approved. It just took us 1 month and 2 weeks. They approved our work permits and extended to until 2037. No, 27, right? 2027, yeah. So we are free to move to work. Glory be back to God. And thanks for praying for us. Amen. Let her have some word also.
Thank you. Mine is also ABC. So I want to thank God that what our brother has just shared to us was actually going, we were actually going through that with Moses. At some time, he stopped applying and he was like, how just stop applying? Because I don't know even whether my applications are being seen outside there. But eventually,
Oh, sorry, I'd forgotten one. It's like I've been, Jeff, the same. Jeff, you've not been alone. We've been together. I thank God that I've been working in Langley, from Burnaby to Langley every day. But I thank God that I got a job in Vancouver. So it's been, it's just within Burnaby, 15 minutes drive, not 10 to 15 minutes drive from home to workstation. I could drive 45 minutes for work, go back, come back home, 45. That is almost like an hour and some minutes going for work. But I really thank God I have a job just near my home place. So I really thank God.
Now back to mine. Yeah, I remember I shared with Laura sometime back that I completed, of course, my PhD in March, and I am graduating this month. But I had seen the process Moses was going through, and I was like, he has been applying for so long. I'm also going to go through that. But surprisingly, I took some job positions, and I really love working at the university, you know. So I was aiming for something at UBC as well, and there was this postdocs advert. I did two interviews, and one of them I was selected, and it's a very good one in my position and in my training, and I'm so glad that I have been taken up at the university that I wanted for at least a couple of 2 years at UBC and working as my postdoc. Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you so much for the prayer team for always also like standing with us whenever we come around. Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Dr. and Moses. I think I, first of all, praise God. And I think I've convinced Evan to share an ABC testimony. So she's going to go next.
But I never listen. And ABC, I can never remember that. So I've always used the KISS principle, which is keep it short, and then I won't use the last word. So I have two. So last week we had a potluck, and I am awfully, awfully allergic to hemp seeds. And there were hemp seeds in the salad that I had, and I have pretty much less than 20 minutes to get home before my body explodes. And so I just cried all the way home because I knew it was coming, and I just begged God for mercy because it's the same reaction every time. And I and everyone at my table realized what was going on and kicked me out really quick and started praying. And I do thank God because it was still tough, but it was a milder reaction than what I normally have. And then on Monday, I had a chance to sit down. I did Freedom Session, and then I continued into our little group has continued into Authentic Living. And so I wanted to share. So we journal every day. We review a verse, and then we listen. And part of the Freedom Session, like Session 21, which is actually part of the next group, is about hearing God's voice. And I've learned after being a Christian for about 34 years that repentance comes first. If you want to hear God's voice, you need to make it right with God. And it's amazing how much clearer I can hear his voice. Praying and pictures has always come quickly to me, but sitting and hearing his voice. And when I hear God's voice, or I feel it, and it's like I see light, and my eyes are closed, and I can feel this connection from the core of my being connecting to him. And so this is what I heard on May 6th. And I was reading 1 John 4, and then this is what I heard. I will always love you more, Evan, and that's okay with me. It's not a competition or a matter of size. I'm your creator father. Everything I have is for you to consume with love and gratitude, completely and wholly. I don't hold back with you. You suffered greatly and still loved me. You returned to my embrace freely. I love you for returning to me. I loved you when you left me. I loved you before you were born. I love you first, and I love you most. 1 John says, we love because he loved. 1 John 4:19. We love because he loved us first. And this reminds me of 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will gladly spend everything I have and expend myself for you. I love you more. Will you love me less? So yeah, that is my testimony. Keep it short. Oh, and the Unity Arch is up. So if you would like to take pictures of yourself and maybe some friends, please do.
Thank you. Praise God. Do we have anyone else who would like to show? Oh, yeah, we've got a hand here and a stand up here. So, oh, and someone else. We have three more. Okay. You three are going. You can go first, Tony.
Hi, I'm Tony. I'm going to go through a whole bunch of stuff really fast. When I graduated from business at UBC, I went to work in the family business for 5 years. My dad had a heart attack, and so I was sitting in the president's seat for a year and a half. And the business thrived. It took off. And in hindsight, I have to make it really clear, not that I was such a fabulous businessman, but because God was blessing. Then my dad came back, and we had some headbutting going on eventually. I came home to Judy one day, and I said, I feel like a piece of chopped liver, the stress of all the stuff that was going on. I didn't marry you for your money, you know, she says. Oh! Anyway. So quickly, we got on our boat. We left the business, we retired from that. We got on our boat, went up and down the coast for the summer. And friends of us had invited us to go to a Young Life camp up the coast. They let us stay there for 2 days. They normally don't do that. When visitors show up, they give them a brief tour, keep them away from the kids. But anyway, because we had this friend who was well known to them, they let us stay there. We heard the gospel presented again at the end of that summer. Holy Spirit filled me up. And that's another story, but that's it. The issue is, we left the family business, and I had a resume that you could die for, and I couldn't get an interview. God was not allowing me to get an interview because he was taking this sort of businessman and restoring the man who had become so lopsided. And he took those 2 years, he restored me. I joined a Young Life club. We were in part of the leadership. And God was just building me up and restoring all that good stuff. He is so good. And, you know, I was quite concerned not getting an interview. Good heavens. But, you know, looking back, I think, well, what a blessing. It was bad for me at the time. No, it wasn't. It was God doing good work. I just didn't recognize it. So that's the story. As brief as I can make it.
Thank you, Tony. Yes. Sometimes God is working, and we don't always know it. And retrospect can be really helpful. Tim, do you want to go next? And then you'll be next.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Tim. I'm just wanting to share a little bit about just some things that God has been speaking to me over these past few months, specifically just about abiding with him and, not trying to do everything out of my own strength, but really to rely on his Spirit and his strengthening and everything. So for me, I very much a doer. I kind of like, if I see something that's going on, I just want to do it right away and get things done. Wanting to just make sure that like everything is working smoothly, and I will do a lot of that out of my own expense and not really slow down and sit with God. And I think this past year has been a lot of that for me. A lot of jumping from one event to the next, kind of not really taking the time that I need to slow down and be with God and kind of search for his strength first. And yeah, I think through these months, God's really been calling out to me to really slow down. So the first time that this happened was in January. I was at a retreat and I had my quiet time in the morning and I was reading through John 15, which, if you don't know which passage that is when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," and to abide with him. But I'd read this passage many times, so I'm like going through it and I'm just like, okay, yeah, this is what it says. This is what it means for me. And then because we were at a retreat, there was a set space to listen to God and just be with him for an hour. But there were one of the leaders who came up and was introducing the time talked about how scripture is like a painting, that each time you look at it, you can see the different brush strokes and appreciate something new every time you look at it. And that's the way that we should be approaching scripture. And then afterwards, they were handing out little pieces of paper with scripture on it for us to go out and spend time with God. And funnily enough, the passage that was handed out was the exact same passage that I was reading right before John 15, to abide with Jesus. And I think God was really just pointing out to me that I need to slow down and I need to abide with him and not just go through the motions of it all, but to really slow down with him. And then a second time, I think that really God called me out over this few months is we were at a staff meeting and we had a time just to ask for images from God for us or for one another. And one of my coworkers, Zillian, was praying and got an image of me sitting at my desk, opening up an energy drink and drinking out of that, with the contrast of drinking water and kind of that message being going for the quick and easy and not drinking from God and from his fountain and his water to be strengthened by him. And I think at that point, I was definitely trying to just, it's the end of the semester, everything's kind of getting to the point where, oh, it just needs to get done. And I think that was really God calling out and being like, no, don't just do the quick thing, focus on me and slow down. Around this time last year, I was really sitting in this passage quite a bit, and I totally did the wrong one as I was searching for it. Uh-oh. Let me find that. Here we go. I was sitting in this passage in Galatians 5, 18 through 25. And recently God's kind of been putting it back on my heart. And I think this is, I don't know if this is just for me or if this is for someone else, but I think this is really just a way to remember to walk with God in everything that we're doing. So Galatians 5, 16. "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. But these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things do not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Thank you.
All right. Praise be to God for his word. Come on up. And then we have Terry is going to take up the rear of this march.
Thanks, Laura. Good morning, church. So, yeah, God is so amazing, and these flowers are so incredible, and why I appreciate them is because they're actually called Barberton daisies. They're native from South Africa, like me, so yeah, very special. So I've been blessed with a really extraordinary life, but I'm not here to speak about my life. I'm here to share what lessons I have learned that I'm feeling that God is pressing on my heart to share with you. And so he's given me the gift of teaching, which I, thank goodness, against everybody's advice in my life when I was just fresh out of university, I accepted and embraced that gift, and I pursued that. And through that, he's blessed me in such incredible ways through following him. So standing back in my midlife now, I'm so grateful for the lessons that he taught me, and for the young people out there also, just encouragement as to pursue where God leads you, pursue where your gifts take you. Don't swim against that. Go with God's flow. Follow where he wants to lead you. And so what I would like to share with you today is a lesson that I feel the people in the time of Jesus made the same mistake as many of us Christians are doing today. And that is, when Jesus came, and around about the time when he went into Jerusalem on the donkey on Palm Sunday, the crowds were following him. They were convinced he's the Messiah. They heard of miracles. Some of them have seen what he's done, and they believed he is the Messiah, came to save them. It's been prophesied. They heard about this. But when Jesus was crucified, not too long after that, many of them forsake him because he did not follow through on the promises that they wanted for their lives. And I feel like they missed the whole point, because Jesus came to give us peace, to change us, to transform our lives, to make us more like him, not to solve all our problems, not to fix our lives like we want them to be fixed. And I feel like many Christians today have got the same approach to following Jesus, in that they've got like a list of things that they want God to fix, to sort out their lives. Make no mistake, God, there's no detail in your life that God is not aware of. Take the flowers, and we know how God clothes them. If we put our needs first before God's will, we will never find him. And so my lesson is also, my message today is for those who seek a deeper relationship with God, for those who want to hear his voice, for those who want to be closer to him. Put your will aside and seek his will. Seek what he wants. As Jeffrey also testified, and Tony, about closed doors. If God wants to keep a door closed in your life, you're just tiring yourself out by trying to open that door. Wait, look, seek. What is God doing in your life? He will sort those things out when you follow and you seek him first. If you don't seek him first and you don't put his will before yours, you will never find that true relationship where you can walk with Jesus every day. And I want to encourage you to pursue that first. Follow Jesus in, I think it's from the Sermon on the Mount, where he said, seek my kingdom first and his righteousness, which is, by the way, something that's becoming more meaningful for me now. I've sought his kingdom all my life. And only recently I realized that it also is righteousness. But anyway, seek that first, and all these things that we want and that we need will be added to you. Yes, that's what I wanted to share with you today.
Thank you. Amen. All right, Terry, last word.
Thank you. Hi, just put this down. For those of you who know me, I'm rarely caught without a cup of coffee. I'll try and keep it brief. I'll give you the Coles Notes version. About 50 years ago, as a young Christian, God spoke to me one night in a loud, clear voice. I didn't have a feeling. I didn't think he was saying something. It was so loud, it was ridiculous. And it was clearly the voice of God. You couldn't mistake it for anything else. And I've always been a kind of person where I don't want to believe. I really don't. I want to know. And knowing and believing are two completely different animals. So I've always felt that, well, everything I need to know is in Scripture. It really is. You know, I don't need to hear too much. And 50 years passed before God spoke clearly to me again. And he gave me a series of revelation over 6 or 7 weeks. And one of them is the one I want to tell you today. Because if I try and go through them all, we'll be here till a long time. It's hard to describe because the depth of meaning that is in revelation, when God gives you revelation, it's a whole book. But what it was this, is why did Jesus sweat blood? And as I thought about that, I realized that, you know, throughout all of history, there's been probably hundreds of thousands of people who have been tortured and killed. Not one of them have I ever heard an account of anybody sweating blood. Nobody. So why did he sweat blood? And I'm convinced the reason is this, is he knew what was ahead of him. And what was ahead of him was horrific. Think about this. This is the Son of God who has been with the Father for all eternity, because eternity goes both forward and back. And he was basking in God's love for the entirety of eternity. He even was in constant communication with the Father when he was on earth. He said, I do nothing but what the Father tells me. You know, we know the story of Jesus. We know he came. He began his ministry. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He was hung on a cross. He died for our sins. He rose again, and now he sits at the right hand of God. And it's a really, you know, happy ending story. He sits at the right hand of God. But what really occurred there, what the real sacrifice was, wasn't a physical death. Imagine being in that love for all eternity. And taking on the sin of man, that's so horrific, so repulsive, so anti-God, that God had, for the first time in all of eternity, God turned his face away from his Son. He had to abandon him. Imagine being completely abandoned from the most loving being that could possibly be, far more than we can imagine. And he was separated from that love. He was on his own. That's the sacrifice that he sweat blood over. And the more you think about it, the more you contemplate it, the depth of that sacrifice, the price he paid was what we should have paid. We deserve death. We really did. That's our wage. But he took that. But it's the separation from the Father, the horrific separation from the Father. And the Father, the sacrifice of the Father is, can you imagine turning your face from your Son in that kind of a circumstance? Having that sin laid on him that's so repulsive you can't even look at him? That's the sacrifice of the cross. And it's something that the more you contemplate and the more you think about, the more you realize the depth of God's love for us. We weren't worthy, but he made us worthy. So.
Thank you, Terry. All right. I'm going to pray, and then Wes is going to come up and we will respond in musical worship. God, thank you for the stories that you give us. I thank you for each of the stories we got to hear this morning. I ask that for each one hearing the seeds you wanted to plant, the ideas you wanted to give us, the encouragements and exhortations, that those things would take root and would germinate throughout this week. God, I ask that you would help us to abide in you, to seek first your kingdom, and to do this in every circumstance of our lives, expected and unexpected, joyful and full of sorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.